It was my intention to use the Westminster Standards to help us dive into the doctrine of the Trinity and the incarnation of Christ. And we sort of began looking at that last week, and Lord willing, I'll get back to that next to Lord's Day. But this week I want to do something slightly different, at least something we haven't done very much in the last couple of years. I want to have a New Testament lesson because I want to look at a New Testament passage that I think will help us put our evening sermon text in a helpful context. So to that end, let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 1. This is the true word of God. Now a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. This is God's word. This is an amazing Christmas text. Perhaps my favorite Christmas text in the Bible, albeit a very surprising one. Because it's telling us the Christmas story in the broadest contours of redemptive history. But what really makes Revelation 12 surprising is that it presents Christ's first advent in the context of intense cosmic warfare. And that's what I want to take a moment and briefly zero in on this evening. Now, we're introduced to 3 key characters with key roles in this cosmic warfare, so we need to identify them. First, there's a woman, a splendid and glorious woman who's pregnant with a male child. And then second, there's a male child that's obviously going to come from this woman. And then third, there's a cruel and vicious dragon who desperately wants to destroy her offspring. So let's make sure we know who's who. The woman represents God's covenant people, the church, as she exists throughout history. In verses 1 through 5, it's the church in the Old Testament. And while it's not our focus this evening, from verse 6 to the end of the chapter is the church in the New Testament. I want to start with this. This is not a literal woman. It's not Eve. And it's not Mary, as Roman Catholics believe. If you glance at verse 1, we're told the woman is a sign. She's not an individual woman. She's a sign. And to interpret this sign, we need to look at its features. And when we look at the features of the sign, one of the things we notice is that this woman is associated with luminaries, the sun, the moon, and on her head, a garland of 12 stars. So what are we to make of this? Well, to rightly interpret the book of Revelation, you need to know that John assumes his readers would have been saturated in the Old Testament, which is why it's such a difficult book for us to interpret, because we're often not saturated in the Old Testament. And you see, this imagery of the luminaries here would have reminded Old Testament saints and those that John was writing to of Joseph's vision that's recorded in Genesis 37, 9 through 11, right? Many of us recall that Joseph had dreams, and in one of Joseph's dreams, his father was presented as the sun, his mother Rachel was presented as the moon, and the stars in Joseph's dreams represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course, when we speak of the 12 tribes, it's just a basic way to identify God's covenant people in the Old Testament.
And that's what the imagery of Revelation 12 represents. It's symbolic, simply, of the Old Testament church. Again, the woman is not Eve, not Mary. It's the people of God being depicted as a woman. Again, imagery you find all over the scripture. And so this woman's womb, the womb of Israel, as it were, is that protecting place that God's using to preserve the promised messianic seed up to the point when Messiah will be born. So that's the first character in Revelation 12. Second, there's a child who is clearly Jesus. He's the promised Messiah, God's promised Christ. And identifying him is really a no-brainer. And as far as I know, no Orthodox Bible scholars really dispute that the child in these verses is, in fact, Christ. In verse 5, John alludes to Psalm 2 and applies it to this child. And Psalm 2 is clearly about Christ. It has to do with this child ruling the nations with a rod of iron. Later in Revelation 19:50, John will make this even more explicit that it's Jesus. That's who the male child is. It's Jesus, the promised Messiah. And that brings us to our third character, the dragon, who again is presented as a sign. Once more, we don't have to wonder who this is. Although we didn't read it, we're told down in verse 9 that this great dragon is the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan. Now, we also know him as the father of lies, the destroyer, the accuser of the brethren, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age, Beelzebub. And John presents him as comprehensively powerful. He has 10 horns and 7 diadems, and the numbers 10 and 7 indicate a kind of completeness and a kind of fullness to communicate to us the frightening level of might and ferocity associated with this vicious beast. And his lies and his threats and his brute strength were such that with a single sweep of his tail, a third of the stars of heaven were cast down to earth. And of course, this is a picture of the angels that fell with Satan. So that's who the dragon is, the evil one, the enemy of our souls, the devil. And now that we have some sense of who's who in these verses, we want to notice the menacing posture of the devil engaged in this cosmic warfare. Glance there at the last half of verse 4. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. So this is a very graphic picture of the dragon, of the serpent of old, with an insatiable evil hunger to devour Messiah. And we actually know why, don't we? Why the dragon is so passionately committed to destroying Messiah. We know because we know the backdrop of this is actually Genesis 3:15. When God declared that through the seed of the woman, he would send one to destroy the serpent of old, to fully and finally crush his head. And you see, from that point forward, from that moment in Genesis 3:15, when a picture of the gospel was first announced, from that moment, Satan was determined to extinguish the messianic seed and to do so by killing or destroying or corrupting the people through whom this earthly seed would be born. And if you can understand this cosmic warfare, it'll actually help you make better sense of the Old Testament and the countless conflicts and struggles and challenges that they endured. And if you're walking through biblical history, it becomes immediately clear that this fiery red dragon wasted no time bringing attacks against the seed of the woman. We see that in the first family when Cain murdered his brother Abel. That was the devil trying to destroy the messianic seed.
Satan wants to destroy the one that God promised would destroy him. And that just continues to play out in the narratives of the Old Testament. Think of Pharaoh in the opening chapters of Exodus. He orders the killing of all the male children in Israel. That was demonic. It was to devour the messianic seed. Well, think about David, a man after God's own heart, the royal seed through which the Messiah come. On two occasions, Saul, who was influenced by Satan, hurled spears at David to kill him. If only he could kill David. What was Saul doing? He was an agent of the dragon seeking to destroy the promised seed. It was the dragon standing before the woman ready to devour the child. And the fiery dragon's efforts reached a fevered pitch with Herod. When he heard that Jesus had been born, he ordered all the male children under 2 years old to be killed. Again, in the most graphic and vile way, this was the dragon standing before the woman ready to devour the child. If you'll allow me to say it this way, the dragon was determined to stop Christmas. But for all of Satan's efforts to do this very thing, he was unsuccessful. Verse 5 tells us the child was born. And he was caught up to God and his throne. That is, God's advent purposes wouldn't be thwarted. The Christ child was born, lived, died, rose from the grave, and ascended to his throne. Ever since Genesis 3:15, the dragon was standing before the woman, ready to devour the child. And the good news of Christmas is that the child was born. This evening, when we return to our study in 2 Kings, we're going to see a vivid portrait of Revelation 12 unfold on the pages of Holy Scripture.